bastard to turn it around.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
And welcome to Heal DC. This is Joni, and Chuck is with us this morning, too. Good morning, Chuck.
Morning, Joni.
Glad to hear you. We have an important and exciting show for you today, so fasten your seatbelts and keep your ears open. In about 10 minutes, we're going to be hearing a live report from Georgia, one of the battleground states, with our dear friend Frank Smith, and he has an activist Georgia person there with him. So hang in there for 10:10 when we go into that live report from Georgia. But right now, we have an exciting discussion for you today. Let me first say thank you, everybody, for pledging during our pledge drive. You can still pledge. We are always open to more pledges. You just need to go to the website, wpfwfm.org, click the Donate Now button, and make a pledge. We definitely can use it. But I'm extremely excited to welcome two people who are talking to us about a very exciting and fun event coming this Saturday, Dancing with the Scholars. And we know that we may be having kind of a rough week. We all can use a way to go out and have some fun and enjoy ourselves. And so I'm very excited to introduce Wanda Lockridge and Austin Cooper. Some of you may know Wanda Lockridge, may sound familiar. She is going to be talking about the William Lockridge Foundation. She also is the chief of staff for Trayon White in Ward 8. And I'm proud to say that I've known Wanda for many, many years. We used to work together in the health department. And it's a joy to be working with her on this exciting project. And I'm going to ask Wanda and Austin to hop in a moment, but I also want to say Wanda recently was awarded a very special award, so we want to congratulate Wanda for that. But let's bring on Wanda and Austin and just have the discussion start with what's happening on Saturday. Good morning, Wanda.
Good morning, Joni. Good morning, Chuck.
So, morning, Wanda.
So tell us, and we're going to hear from Austin, too. Tell us, first of all, what is happening on Saturday?
A big fun day. So on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 9th of November, we are hosting the 14th anniversary of the Dancing with the Scholars. And if you have not been there, you will want to be there. We have students from Ward 7 and 8 who will be dancing with elected officials. It really is a family fun activity. The judges this year will be Council Member Mendelson or Chairman Mendelson, and we have two of the school board representatives. It really is an amazing time to come out at 7 o'clock. And Joni, it is free this year.
That's right. And I'll say I've gone many years. It is such a fun time, and there are a lot of students out there, up there on the stage, dancing. It's really very inspiring. Tell us, so folks, I want everybody to keep this in your minds. It's this Saturday, 7 p.m. at the Arc on Mississippi Avenue in Ward 8. You can register, and Austin will give out the website, but we're going to talk a little more about what is the William Lockridge Foundation, but also this year will include a special tribute to Vincent Gray. Austin, you want to mention, elaborate on that, or Wanda?
Yeah, I'll let Wanda.
Certainly. So many of you all know that Councilmember Gray is retiring from the council. He has been so very supportive, not only of the foundation, but the District of Columbia as a whole. And we just thought that it was befitting to just honor him. As a matter of fact, we had decided this early on this year to honor him because he has been a strong supporter of us, that he's been a judge. And so it was just really timely, actually, once we found out that he was tired, that we had already set our minds to honoring him. He's done such an amazing career in the political field. I actually met Councilmember Gray when he was at Covenant House, and I just followed him, and I have admired his work and what he's done for the city for so very long. So we are honored to have the opportunity to honor him, indeed.
Absolutely. So let's spend a moment or two about the William Lockridge Foundation. I certainly remember William Lockridge. He was on this show, and he was very much a part of the WPFW family. But either Austin or Wanda, tell us a little bit about who William Lockridge was and about the foundation.
Well, I'll start. The late William Lockridge was a great community activist from Ward 8. He was a wrestling coach at Beloit Senior High School, was a teacher there, and was a longtime member of the State Board of Education. And after his sudden passing in January of 2011, his widow, Wanda, in the midst of tremendous pain and grief, had the fortitude, had the mindset to create the William O. Lockridge Community Foundation that spring. And our primary mission under Wanda's leadership is to raise scholarship monies for high school seniors in Ward 7 and 8 to attend college. And under her leadership for the last 14 years, the Lockridge Foundation has raised over $400,000 for over 100 students to attend college. We also take students to Africa, Joni, and Listener. In recent years, we've been to Cameroon, Ghana, Benin, Madagascar. Next year, we're going to Angola. And we also, Joni, have a U.S. Foreign Service initiative where for 6 weeks each semester, we bring together high school students in Ward 7 and 8 and expose them to careers in international affairs.
Wow. And so this event on Saturday is to support the William Lockridge Foundation. Wanda, and give out the email address for people who want to register to attend.
Absolutely. They can go to our website, which is www.WilliamLockridgeCommunityFoundation.org. If for some reason you forget that, you can just Google William Lockridge and the foundation will pop up and you can go on and get your free 99 ticket. So again, the tickets are free this year.
Yes. And I also want to congratulate you, Wanda, for getting a special award. I think there were something like 8 women or tell us, you can brag a little bit about the award you just got.
I'm happy to do so. So the foundation was, again, honored to be selected for what a program is called CLAP. It's Chief Executive Leadership Ascend Program, and it's sponsored through we actually got it through the foundation with Jane Bancark and the J.P. Morgan Chase, who funded this program. And the program is a year program, which will help us build the foundation, just level us up. There are so many small organizations led by women that generally don't get the funding that, you know, we need to really scale up. So these two organizations have funded us a $25,000 grant so that we can continue to do the work that we're doing on the ground. And so we are talking about board development. We're talking about media. And so we are so excited to be a part of this program. It has already been such an amazing experience thus far.
Absolutely. And again, I want people to be thinking about Saturday. We don't know what's going to be happening this week. Of course, we never know, but this week is a particularly challenging week ahead, one way or the other. And so we all may need a little relaxation, a little fun, a way to, you know, really engage with the youth. Even if you're not up there on the stage, you can feel like you are on the stage with them. It's a lot. How many young people would you say, Wanda, are going to be in the dance competition is what it is?
The dance competition themselves is 3 schools, Balloon, Bard, and Kippen. It's 2 per students. So there are six students out there, but many students participate and come out. But Joni, I really want to just add this. I know we're on time, but you mentioned something very critical. Tomorrow is the last day that we are able to vote. And it is important that everyone get out there and vote. And then yes, no matter what the outcome is, we really need to be able to clear our minds and have a good time and have fun. So Saturday is a perfect time to do that. Joni, one last thing. I understand that you have a pledge drive. The foundation absolutely wants to make a pledge. So we would definitely go online and do that today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Wanda. And I also want to give a shout out to Austin, who's on the phone with us. He was one of the many people, of course, who went door to door traveling to Pennsylvania to help get out the vote. So, Austin, thank you on behalf of many of us who can't.
Thank you, Joni, and thank you to you and WPFW for your continued support of the William O. Lockridge Community Foundation. Thank you.
Yes, it's an honor to do so. And again, that is Saturday night at the ARC. Come out and wonder how many young people would you say will be on the stage approximately?
Well, there'll be six that will be performing, and then there's just many because there's the three dance groups. But then, you know, we have activities and other things in between that. So, again, be really fun. It's just like Dancing with the Stars, if you remember. And if anyone's been there before, Chairman Mendelson and the judges are hilarious. They're giving people more than 10 points. I mean, the max is 10, but I've seen Chairman Mendelson get people 10s and 11s and 12s.
Yes, and so hopefully some of you listeners will come on out. I'm hoping to be there. And so let's give us a round of applause, everybody, and especially Wanda and and Austin and the William Lockridge Foundation for their work and for involving particularly Ward 7 and 8 students. And we'll see you Saturday.
Thank you, Joni.
Thank you, Joni.
Thank you, Chuck.
And we're there. And we're going live now, hopefully, to Georgia. We're going to hear a little bit more from Ray Charles, and we will bring in Frank Smith, who many of you know. Frank, he's often on this show. Frank Smith is actually a native of Georgia, but he is the founder and executive director of the African American Civil War Museum. He served on the city council here in D.C. for many years. He is a SNCC veteran. And for those people who don't know, which I'm always surprised there are many, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. So he has a lot to share, and he has bringing with him, he's going to introduce the young man that's with him. But let's give him a little introduction with this song.
Georgia, Georgia. The whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
I said,
okay, that's a good song to introduce Frank Smith. With us, and he's going to introduce a person he's brought with him by the name of Alfonso Smith. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. How you doing this morning, Johnny?
Good. And Chuck's here with us, too, and we're excited to hear your report. As listeners know, there are seven battleground states, and Georgia is certainly one of them. So we're eager to hear what's happening in Georgia, what you've been doing, and what it looks like. And is Alfonso with you?
Yes, he is.
Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning. Glad you could join us. And Frank, tell us a little bit about Alfonso Smith.
Okay, so Alfonso Smith is my cousin on my father's side of the family. But more importantly, he's also one of five county commissioners here in Cuyahoga County. The county is organized like the city council. Everybody has a district, and he represents one of these districts here, and the county has about 150,000 people, so he represents about 25 or 30,000 of those people. Mm-hmm. in his district. Mm-hmm. And he is By the way, there are five members of this county council, and he's one of them. And the other four are on the other side. They're on the other side. They're Republicans, and they unfortunately, they're also white.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Al, you're talking about being in the trenches, fighting the fight from the trenches. This is a trench fighter right here. I brought him in here with me today because I wanted you to hear from the mouth of somebody who still fights this fight every day. He's a good man. He's worked hard at this, and I'm glad to be here to support him. So I'll say good morning, everybody.
Good morning, everybody.
I'm
glad to be here with you. And Frank came down to Coweta County and to back to his hometown to see this county. We've already turned blue because Biden won Coweta County. Well, Biden won Georgia last year, and we're trying to make sure that Kamala Harris wins Coweta County this year. And the voting turnout has been at record levels, as it has been across the country. And we just feel very encouraged by the turnout and the enthusiasm and all the things that go along with this campaign for this woman who has shown herself to be one of the greatest candidates that ever qualified to run for president.
And we're happy to have this frontline report. Chuck, jump in if you have a question or comment.
Chuck.
How are you?
You know, Joni got my blood running real fast when she put George on my mind with Ray Charles on there, because you know I had to come back down here. If we save Georgia, we will save the nation.
Hey.
So I had to be right here in the belly of the whale to make sure these votes get counted, and that the results come out the right way, and that we've chosen the next president of the United States.
Absolutely.
And how your day?
Say it again.
How are you spending your day there today?
Okay. I took Al away from his early morning program this morning. He had something at 6:30. I don't get up that early, not anymore. I'm 82 years old, so I let Al do that. He's about half my age, but he and I are going to run around the rest of the day and check on our people and make sure everybody's ready to go. And not only do we have Al out here, he's head of the Democratic Party for Coweta County, by the way. But one of my nieces is working the polls down there in the Grantville area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she told me the other day, this is her ninth year. She's Uncle Frank, I ain't going to quit now. I've been doing this for 9 years. So I know everybody down there who votes. And she can't campaign at the polls now, but she can smile and do her thing when people come up in there and check their names off.
Show them some of that Southern hospitality. Frank and I, also Saturday, we had the opportunity to go into the Atlanta area to a political rally for the mayor and the district attorney, Fonnie Willis. And also Saturday, right after that rally, there was a rally at the Atlanta Civic Center parking lot for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, in which there was looked like to be over 50,000 people out there.
Wow.
It was very moving, Jonah. It was the biggest crowd I've ever seen, actually, at a political rally. And they came from everywhere, but... And about a third of the audience was white. There was a lot of white women there, which was encouraging to me.
Yes, indeed.
Because that's, you know, people are saying that black men, some young black men particularly, are not coming out big time for Kamala Harris. I don't think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know this much, that in order for her to win, she's got to get a bunch of votes from whites and Hispanics and gays and others. Because, you know, I'm always talking about this, Chuck. There's only about 20 million black people registered to vote in the United States, and 18 to 20 million blacks registered to vote. You need almost 65, 70 million votes to become president of the United States. Mm-hmm. So you need three times the number of people as we have registered in the black community. So the only way Obama was able to win was because he could reach across the aisle and find whites and Hispanics and others. And let me say this thing. I think there's something magical about having Kamala head of this ticket this time. She's a black woman prosecutor. Mm-hmm. She's running against a guy who's one step ahead of the posse.
Mm-hmm.
Who got 34 criminal charges already against him and all that stuff. So you couldn't be a better contrast. But women's rights is a key issue in this campaign, and there couldn't be a better spokesperson for that argument than a young woman who's been a prosecutor herself and a senator and a vice president of the country. And I think we're lucky to have her here at this moment, at this hour of time. And I do believe that she's going to carry Georgia and carry the nation.
Yeah, I do too. Amen.
And let me ask you, Alfonso Smith, as we certainly know Georgia's history. I've heard Frank talk about some chilling things that I think his great-grandfather witnessed, a lynching, and I've heard some horrific things. And, of course, some of those things are still kind of in the air. Mm-hmm. Alfonso Smith, share with us some of the challenges you've had with particularly, I'm going to say, the extreme white racist people in Georgia, or, you know, any stories you'd like to share about this, about that.
Okay, so we have a courthouse that was built in 1906. We have a court square downtown Noonan, and this courthouse sits in the middle of downtown. Typically, you've seen little towns in Georgia that have a courthouse in the square, and it has a Confederate soldier that is on a pedestal that sits out in the courthouse that was provided by the Daughters of the Confederacy. And this statue has been in front of the courthouse ever since I can remember being at the courthouse. And I'm 71 years old now. And I remember when my mama would go into the courthouse to pick up the child support that daddy was leaving up there, that when I remember there were white and colored water fountains in the courthouse, mm-hmm. and that there were white and colored bathrooms. Then the colored bathrooms was not in the courthouse. They were outside in the basement. And this is all changed recently when the Civil Rights Bill was passed in 1964. Cowee County was the last county in Georgia to have fully integrated schools. So this county has been a bastion of regression and trying to hold on to the vestiges of white supremacy and white power, and we have struggled mightily. And we've always had white and white police department and white sheriff's department and white firefighters, but thanks be to God, all these things are changing now. And what I talked to Frank about this weekend is that the privilege that our Caucasian brothers and sisters have enjoyed for so long is beginning to fade now, and that is causing them to be very fearful that they are going to be enslaved, which is not the case, but that's the way they see it from their perspective. There's a thing called a Gestalt image where if you look at it from one direction, it looks like a rabbit. And if you look at it from the 90 degree angle, it looks like a duck. And what I'm saying is, it depends on your perspective as to what things look like now in the political realm. Some people see equality as oppression, and the people that I know and represent don't see equality as an oppressive thing. It is actually an equalizer where the playing field, and politically, economically, and socially has been leveled. And this wave of equality and equity is coming, and they see it coming, and there's nothing that can be done about it. You can't turn it back because the horse is out of the barn now.
Yep. And let me say, let me add, this is Frank again. Mm-hmm. Johnny, let me just add this. I told you that one of my nieces is working the polls. Alfonso Smith here has a whole district that he takes care of. He runs. He's got his people working out there now. We've got signs in the yards out there, and people everybody pipe pumped up about this. We checked this morning with the Board of Elections here, and they told us that of the to read those numbers off about what already happened here.
Okay, yeah. We have had out of 109,000 registered voters, 66,000. Have voted early, 61,754 were in person voting, and there have been 4,560 mail-in ballots to this date, and so that is phenomenal when you only have 109 folk registered. And typically, in my elections here, you only get a turnout of about 30-40%. But it appears that this turnout is going to be up in the neighborhood of 60% turnout, if not greater than that. And I was listening on the early morning cable show this morning, and that women over 65 are voting at a higher rate than any other demographic in the United States. And so that is very encouraging news. I don't have an opponent because I've run unopposed my last two terms. You know, people, I am a servant for the people of Cowee County. And you could imagine everybody knows me by my righteousness.
He sounds like a spit, doesn't he? So you know, now you know where I got my bluster from. It runs in the family.
Yes, absolutely.
But I will. He has a county council meeting tomorrow evening. And I'm going to go to his county council. I told you he's the only black person on there. And here's how I asked him. I said, how in the world do you ever get anything done? Because I represented Ward 1 in Washington for all those years. If you don't do something for the people in your ward, it's hard for you to stay in office. And this man is running unopposed, so he must be doing a pretty good job down there. So I said, well, how in the world do you do anything? You got four people that are white, all Republicans, you're the only Democrat. So he said, well, they rotate the chairmanship of the...
That's correct.
Talk about that for a second.
Okay, so the chairmanship for the Board of Commissioners is a rotating chairmanship. And so I have two Republicans on my right and two Republicans on my left. And in order to get anything passed, you need to have a majority of three county commissioners to agree on any particular subject. So I'm generally the tiebreaker on any issue that comes up before the Board of Commissioners. So I have two Tea Partiers on my right, and I got two MAGA Republicans on my left. And so every time there's a sticky issue, there's some notes passing down to me. This is, well, Al, how do you see this issue? And generally speaking, when I tell them what my opinion is, that is what we go with.
And you also get to be the chairman every now and then.
Every now. I've been chairman one time. But yeah. So.
Yeah, and they have now they're supposed to rotate the chairmanship. You told me this the other day. This is how it gets real sticky in the South all the time. But rotate the chairmanship. But they, one time, you had a woman on there, mm-hmm. and they skipped over her.
That's right.
They skipped over the woman. See, they don't just discriminate against men down there. They discriminate mm-hmm. against women, too. This was white woman. Mm-hmm. They skipped over her, and so they had a little rebellion down there on the council at that time, right?
It was a great accusation. The woman who was the county commissioner was accused of having a relationship with a fireman, which is taboo. As the ethics layout is that you are not supposed to have any type of relationship, especially sexual relationship with any other employees in the county. So this, I don't know if this ever was settled. It may have been a trumped up charge, but the county commission was in disarray, and it was in the public news for months on end. While we were trying to unravel this, I wasn't one of the commissioners at that time, but I was the commissioner elect. And then when I saw what they were going through to try to keep this woman from serving as the chairman, I really wondered what was I getting myself into. And yeah. Certainly, if they don't want her to be the chair, what is going to happen when it's my turn to be the chair?
That's right. And that sounds somewhat like what was happening with Fannie Willis. And
It's very similar. It's a fight. It's a fight. That's why whenever I come down here, I always pay my respects to my friend Al, because he's still fighting it out.
Absolutely.
You think we fight it out up here on a day-to-day basis in Washington. He's fighting it out down here on a day-to-day basis because his district still needs to have the same thing everybody else has. They need their roads and bridges fixed. They need their schools taken care of. They need all those things, and it's his job to try to make some kind of cosmos out of this chaos, and to figure out how to get along. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come on here with me this morning, because this is a fight that's not only going on at a high level. We in Washington D.C. we tend to see it from a high level, because we know D.C. is going to go always go Democratic, and we're going to do the right thing with the vice president. But we have to go out to other places and try to get other people to help do the right thing also. That's the reason why I came to Georgia. And I told everybody I'm coming out here to keep Georgia blue now. So If y'all don't turn Georgia blue, I might not ever leave. So y'all, no. If y'all want me to leave, y'all better do the right thing on Tuesday.
Georgia is blue now. Go ahead.
Yes, Tony. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is Tuheel DC with Joni and Chuck. We are getting a live report from the battleground state of Georgia with our own Frank Smith, who's a frequent guest. Hopefully many of you have visited his African-American Civil War Museum. He was on the city council, and he is a SNCC veteran. And he brought his friend and relative, Alfonso Smith, who's also on the front line down there in Georgia. Before we go back to the discussion, we're going to play a little piece of a new song called Wake Up Everybody, Remake 2024 with some young people.
Wake up.
We need you to roll. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed.
Nah.
No more backwards thinking. It's time for thinking ahead. World has changed so very much. From what it used to be. War and poverty.
Wake up all the teachers. Time to teach a new way.
Teach a new way.
Maybe now listen to what you have to say.
Why are they the ones who's coming now? The world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
Wake up everybody, time to get out the darkness. Our voice is strong, so together let's make a mark. Change is calling, can you hear? The future awaits us and it's so crystal clear. We got power in our voice to shape a world our land. We stand as one, head to the polls, put your ballots in. Let's seize the moment, time to make a change. The candidates await our decision to choose the next president.
Wake up all the doctors.
Okay, that's Wake Up Everybody, Remix 2024. And usually when Frank's on, Chuck and I like to play a song from the Civil War, Sojourner's Truth. But today we've played this one, this song, with young people singing. And I'd like to ask you both, and Chuck can come in as well. Here in Washington, D.C. and across the country, there is some difference of opinion among activists, among people who consider themselves and are radicals to the left. Some of the people on the left feel that they're not going to vote, and many listeners of PFW may have this position, or they're not going to vote for the Democratic candidate. One of the reasons is what is happening in Gaza, and we understand that that is an issue. But we also understand that there are many other opinions as well, and that's why we thought it was important to really have Frank and Alfonso Smith on this morning. I want to ask Chuck, and as we go through this week, many of us are thinking about our ancestors. I certainly am thinking about my mother, who would be out there. And she was out there at 103 years old and made sure she went out there to vote against what she called the Orange Man. And she had other words for him that I won't mention. But if she can vote at 103, I mean, her spirit is still with me here. And Chuck, I wonder if you might want to share anything about the spirit of your parents as we go through this election week.
Yeah, Johnny, my parents believed and understood the power of the vote. Of course, we came out of a segregated town, Louisiana, Bogalusa, so when we were able, they were able to get people blacks to vote. They stood on that, that the power of the vote is the power of the vote. And that's how things change. And so I don't ever remember them not voting. I mean, sometimes it wasn't that they figured the better of the two evils, but they did vote. When people say, well, I don't like either one, there was a time we couldn't vote for anyone. And so sometimes you have to take the better of the two evils and then work from there.
Yes. And I'm sure your dad and mom were very passionate about voting. Frank, as we go into this week, what some people who understand the criticism of Kamala Harris about the war in Gaza, but what people are saying is that it's important to have a candidate who there's a good chance that you may be able to negotiate with that person, and a better chance of lobbying us into a better place in this country versus the other candidate. What might you say about that, Frank?
Well, I would say two things about it, Joni. Late last year to speak to the Cayuga County Democratic Party. Now, they knew I was a civil rights worker. I've been in jail in Mississippi and Georgia, too, and down in Auburn and other places trying to get people registered to vote. So they knew that I was going to bring it, basically. But one of the things I said to them was that they were part of the civil rights movement. I said, now, you know John Lewis and Frank Smith and Martin Luther King, all these names, but now is your turn, because this man is talking about taking away the right to vote. He's saying, look, and he tried that in Georgia. When he lost that election, he was looking for 12,000 votes. He didn't care whether they were black, white, Hispanic, gay or straight. He just wanted to nullify 12,000 votes. So we're still fighting to defend our vote today, which is really was one of the basic tenets of the civil rights movement. So everybody's a part of this, and I'm frankly glad to have somebody, as I said before, like him leading this. But at church, I go to church when I'm down here every Sunday, and at church I got the preacher started talking about how we still have to come together as a country and continue at a state. Well, he's talking about his church, had to come together as a church and in a community so we can do something afterwards. And I think it is important to say this on the show today, Kamala, because it may be that when I ride out of here on Wednesday on my way back, that we didn't get the decision that we wanted out of this country, that we didn't get Kamala in there, and we got somebody else. And people talk about how he's going to roll back women's rights, he's going to roll back civil rights, he's going to stop any kind of affirmative action program. All of this is in that 2025 plan. He's going to get rid of the Department of Education, because the Department of Education enforces the Civil Rights Act that forced them to integrate the schools. And so they want to get rid of that because for people who think that that's not setting you back, well, I was a little younger than I am. I walked to school while white kids rode to school. We had no books when they had books. And so I don't want to go back to that time. That is nothing patriotic. There's nothing about that was good that I want to go back to. So I think that those people who are saying they don't want to vote because it doesn't make a difference, that's not true. They're just living in denial. But those people who don't vote, they can sit on the sideline. This decision is going to be made by the people who march up to that courthouse and vote. So if you got any kind of sense of consciousness, and if you care anything about what this country is going to be like in the future, and what you're going to be looking like, the country's going to be looking like, you better get your tail out there and vote on Tuesday, because if you don't, you may be living with a nightmare starting Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And Joni, can I just say that as the only minority on the Board of Commissioners and as the titular head of the Cowee County Democratic Party, I have spoken to my people and tried to make them aware of the fight that we're in and the race that we're running. It has to do with the fact that black people are an integral part of everything in society now. The music industry, the movie industry, the professional athletics, college athletics, all the way down the line, you have black talent that has lifted this country up. And I've talked to people everywhere that I've been able to speak to them, that America is a nation of immigrants in the first place. And since we have knowledge now, we have universities and schools that we can go to. People have gotten their masters and doctorates in any number of subjects and in the medical field. We don't have to do anything extra now. We do need to exercise what our abilities, God-given abilities, have shown us to have. And if we would just exercise and realize that we are in the transition, the folk who are voting this year, we are not at the end yet, but we're in the middle of this thing. And even though you might not, the ones who are saying they are not going to vote, they are just not aware of what the vote means. And the president, vice president yesterday talked about your vote is your voice and your voice is your power. All of us have a voice, and we need to release our power, and we need to distribute our power, and we need to always speak up and speak out. I have been recognized by the public in Coweta County and in all districts. Everyone thinks that I'm their commissioner. And this is because they say, I said, well, how do you think I'm your commissioner? And they say, because we call the other four, and you're the only one that answers your phone. So this is something that it's phenomenal, and it's important that we recognize one another and speak to one another. And I would speak to anybody, and I have patience for everybody, and I have hospitality for anybody. This type of attitude will take us further than all the vitriol and the misogyny and the things that the people on the left and the MAGA crowd is trying to push forward on us. As Cardi B said the other day, they are trying to hustle us. And we are the hustlers. You can't hustle a hustler.
Yes, I saw some of that online. You know, there's so many different opinions in right here in Washington, D.C., and sometimes people, and I certainly can speak up and say that I am against what is happening in Gaza. It's beyond frightening to me. But, you know, we don't always think about the other issues. Of course, you know, how can there be other issues in addition to genocide? But there are. And one very real issue to people here in D.C. is statehood. And if the Republicans get in, there's no way in the world D.C. Yeah. can have statehood. And, of course, other things like Social Security and health care and on. But, Frank, what would you have to say about statehood in this election?
Well, not only is D.C. not going to have statehood, but that 2025 plan, Trump says he's going to take over the District of Columbia.
Right.
So it's not just, and I've talked to the chairman of the council about this. He says there are some things he can do by executive order. He doesn't even have to have approval of the Congress to do it. And not that he wouldn't get it if he asked for it with that group that's over there now. So hopefully we're going to flip the Congress too while we flip the White House, while we keep the White House. But it's going to be difficult for D.C. to get statehood. Now, it should be easier if we win, because now we realize that we can get two senators out of Washington, D.C., so that this razor-thin margin that we've had in the Senate, we could have permanent power over there. So hopefully people will realize that. But the fact that we are a majority black city, Joni, it's the country still just doesn't want to see two black senators over there from the District of Columbia, and it's hard, and it's difficult to get the Democrats to do it. They when Jimmy Carter was president, we had the House and the Senate, but we couldn't get the Democrats to do statehood for the District of Columbia. So it's going to be difficult to do, more difficult if these mega Republicans get in there. But I think if the Democratic Party takes it, I think they may see the wisdom now of let's take care of this while we can, and let's try to fix this district, because it'll give us a permanent. So the stars may have lined up over that right now. The same with stars lined up on us with us with this thing about the Roe v. Wade. I mean, I think the reason why Vice President Harris is able to get the women so energized, and you heard him say that the turnout is much greater among women than it is men. One of the reasons why these women, who were able to get these women so energized, is because they have some skin in the game.
Absolutely.
The best partnership is a partnership where everybody has some skin in the game. And they have some skin in the game now. They have lost their rights. They won their rights with Roe v. Wade, lost them. That sounds like black people, doesn't it? Lost them and had to win them all over again. We won our rights during the Civil War, voted and ran for office, had two senators from Mississippi. By the time I was born, we had lost those rights and had to walk the Selma Bridge and the Selma to Montgomery and watch Dr. King and kill others to win those rights back. So we've had this experience before, but thank God we are a fighting people. I heard a preacher one time say, we were built to fight. That's right. We built a fight, and we're going to fight this out. And as I said earlier, come Wednesday, if we don't get the results we want this time, we're just going to do what we always do. We're just going to put on our fighting boots and our fighting armor, and we're going to get right back out there and start all over again, and we're going to keep on fighting until we win, because our cause is just, and we know that it's important for everybody in America to have a right to express their opinion in the polling place and have that opinion respected when the votes are counted. We're the ones that are fighting that fight, and thank God we got some partners out there, I think, willing to help us, and we're going to win this time.
Yes, right. And let me just add something about statehood. I can remember many, many moons ago, actually back in the 70s, I met Josephine Butler before I moved to D.C., and she was going around the country educating people about the importance of D.C. statehood. So that spirit is still important in this election. If you live in D.C., and you have friends and relatives around the country, share that with them, that it might be a reason for them to think about voting for the candidate that would be more likely to support statehood and support D.C. So spread
this. No, let me say something else about these wars, which and I'm going to put Ukraine and the war in Israel in the same category here. If Dr. Martin Luther King was living today, he would say something like this, like these bombs that are dropping in Israel and in Gaza, that are dropping on the Ukraine and other places, are exploding in the ghettos of the United States, and in our neighborhoods. We don't have enough housing for people. We have one of the largest homeless populations in the world. Mm-hmm. Our schools need work, got roads and bridges. We need to get out of these wars. America needs to stop these wars, stop lending our army to other people to go fight wars that really don't have much meaning for the United States. So I think that we've got to find a way to get both of these wars stopped. And hopefully, I think that Vice President Harris understands that but she certainly knows that she can't do all of this domestic stuff that she's talking about doing, giving $25,000 to help people with down payments, helping these small businesses to get started. All these things that she's talking about doing cost money. And that right now, you got to stop some of this money that's flying out of the door so you'll have some money home to do some work for people here. And I'm sure she understands that. And I don't want you to think that I'm skirting over that issue today, trying to pretend that it's not important. It's important, but it's also important because you can't do domestic programs that she's talking about doing unless you find a way to cut back on some of the spending. And right now, the military is where all of the spending is going right now. They're taking all the domestic money out of here and paying it out for these weapons, these expensive weapons that are being used overseas right now in wars that are going to have to settle. They're going to have to settle. Sooner or later, they're going to have to settle these wars. They're going to have to, people who are fighting are going to have to sit down and make a deal.
Well, then,
it's going to happen soon. It should happen soon, actually. And the sooner it happens, the better. That's when all the killing will stop and all of these invasions will stop and all these home bombings and church bombings and
Bieber bombings and walkie-talkie bombings. And Joni, can I just interject that Israel and the Middle East is known as the home or Bethlehem is where Christ was born, and this is the homestead for Christianity. And I would just like people to think about how little the evangelical right is standing up for righteousness and to not only consider themselves as Christians, but also to adapt the stance of being a follower of the way of Jesus Christ. It is almost unbelievable that the war in Gaza and bombing of Israel and areas in that part of the world, Christ is not even mentioned in this, and the evangelical right is derelict of duty for not finding a way for the Palestinians to have a statehood in the people of, we're supposed to be our brother's keeper. We're supposed to love one another the way God loves us. But the silence from the right is deafening, that they have nothing to say, and obviously they have nothing to do to help bring this conflict to a conclusion. There's always going to be, as Frank just mentioned, there's got to be a negotiation for this war, for these wars to end. And from my perspective and my viewpoint, we could just negotiate from the beginning and save all this bloodshed, strife, and hardship by just using our intellectual powers. Is life is not a physical thing. It's all about your intellect. And I would just like to see someone from the right, evangelical. It's all these preachers, mm-hmm. none of them have taken a stance. And I'm not saying you should take, go ahead.
None of the evangelical preachers on the right, but certainly we've had preachers right here in Washington, D.C. who are taking a strong stand against that genocide in Gaza. So I just want to, we're almost out of time, but I want Frank to mention, we're very proud that Frank is going to be in a couple of weeks. I think it's November 17th on a Sunday. You're going to be at the new Smithsonian Museum talking about intergenerational lessons for the fight for justice. Apparently that's going to be happening, I think, together with Joyce Ladner and Paul Coates. Do you want to say anything about that? Because
Jody, I hate to disappoint you and the public, but I told last week the people at the Smithsonian, I'm actually going to be in California on the 17th.
Oh, okay.
I'm raising money for the African American Civil War Museum. You know, that's my job. I'm the director. I have a one line job description, two words: raise money. That's my job. So I've got to work that Sunday in California.
Okay.
But let me invite people on November 11th. On Veterans Day, and we will have a program, we always do, on Veterans Day at the African American Civil War Memorial, 11 a.m., November the 11th. People join us there. We'll have some food and some music. We always have a guest speaker from the military who is an active duty person to come and talk about how our soldiers prepared the way for people who are currently in the military who are doing the work of freedom and justice around the world. So November the 11th, 11 a.m. at the African-American Civil War Memorial. I'll be back in Washington by then, you all. Hopefully, I'll be back with the joyful news that we kept Georgia blue and we have a president that's going to be running this country who has some sense.
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. And, of course, that's just this Monday, and we'll see. Frank, maybe you can come back on Monday if we're on the air. I'm not sure if we'll be preempted for Veterans Day. But we have about a minute left Alfonso Smith, give your last word in about 30 seconds, and then we'll move it to Frank.
All right. I just would like to say, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speak on the podcast today with my cousin Frank. And I just want people to know that we're in a transition, and just because you can't see the end of the parade, we really didn't see the beginning of the parade, but that your work is not in vain, and don't give up the fight, because the blow that we are about to strike tomorrow will break down this wall that we've been hiding behind or have been held back behind. It's all getting ready to come down, and I'm just so glad to be a part of it. And just keep the faith and keep working and keep trusting, because righteousness will prevail. Dr. King said that the moral arc of righteousness is long, but it bends toward justice. And that's a true statement, and I'm a living witness. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we're just about out of time. Frank, thank you so much. And bends toward justice. We may not know the results tomorrow, but we'll know them probably this week. Okay, listeners, we're going out with Wake Up Everybody 2024 Remake. War and
wake up everybody, time to get out the dark. Our voice is strong, so together let's make a mark. Change is calling, can you hear? The future awaits us and it's so crystal clear. We got power in our voice to shape a world our land. We stand as one, head to the polls, put your ballots in. Let's seize the moment, time to make a change. The candidates await our decision to choose the next president.
Wake up all the doctors, gotta make wake the up, old wake people up. Well.